6. As indicated, I was 19 years old when my father passed away. This 2 days from now will be 40 years ago in 1977. And I went through the same things that many of you went through in those early years of how smart is my dad. A matter of fact, it was just quite interesting. Yesterday afternoon, early afternoon, we were up in Kennesaw. We were having lunch with Jude and Ethan. And right beside us, there was a man and his family. And the man had a pretend bow tie on. And it was really kind of a flower. And he looked at Jude, he says, and he's just laughing, and Jude's laughing at him, he says, I'm pretty funny, aren't I? And Jude, without hesitation, said, my daddy is funnier. It's in those early years that we as children say that my dad can do anything. But then life starts happening and life starts moving along. So I anticipate Jude being 6. I anticipate when he turns 7, he will say, my dad knows a lot. And then as Jude gets to be about 12 years old, I can hear Jude saying, oh well, I can't expect Dad to know everything. I can see him at age 14, and I can hear him talking to his friends and maybe talking to Ethan. He says, you know, Daddy is hopelessly out of time. He doesn't know that much. At age 21, I can hear Jude saying, well, what do you expect? Dad just doesn't understand. Now, some of you are at that point right now, 21-year-old. At the age of 24, I can hear Jude saying, Dad knows a little bit, but not too much. I can hear Jude at the age of 30 saying, I need to think what Dad thinks. See how it changes? At age 40, I can hear Jude saying, what would Dad have thought? At 50, I can hear Jude coming about around like a 6-year-old and saying, my dad knows everything. And then when he becomes an old man like me, I can hear Jude saying, I wish I could just talk it over with Dad just one more time. It's amazing, isn't it, as we go through life, how that does indeed happen. And even if you feel any kind of sense of remorse about that right now, don't, because that's just life. That's just the way life is and how it changes, and without the realization. That's why I try to encourage us to remember that life can change on a dime. This week, William called me, and William texts me to inform me that his uncle and that a cousin had just passed away. And I called him a little bit later, and he had told me that his mom's brother went in the hospital, and he was diagnosed with cancer, and in a short period of time, he died. And then within 24 hours, is that right, Will? Yeah, within that short period of time, his son dies. And Ruth and Steve, I talked with Steve yesterday, and they had all the services and just trying to go through that difficult time. There was no anticipation for that family to, how do you get your hands wrapped around that, of having that kind of loss in such a short period of time? Not one, but two. And matter of fact, correct me if I'm wrong, William, if I heard Steve say that they had the service together, both in the service. Is that right? Okay, all right. So I just thought, wow. usually you deal with one, right? Now they're dealing with two in such a short period of time. And like many of you last week, took the great opportunity of expressing your gratitude and your thanksgiving to Brother Roger. And I want to commend you as a body of Christ. I would commend you that you sent him off well. You did. You did him right. And I want to commend you and congratulate you as the body of Christ that even that you don't want him to go, you graciously have put those feelings where they needed to be, and you received that, and you gave him a great going to word and presence, your presence and the cards and the gifts, just a special time. And now we can appreciate one who plays a guitar and one who plays a piano, though that may be different. And next week, as we deal with Tim, settle down, Tim. That is okay. That's going to be different for a little bit of time. It's never going to be the same. That is history. That's life. That is life. And I hope that you'll allow the Holy Spirit of God to teach you. But what I was trying to say about Roger is that you took the opportunity to appreciate someone while they're living. And that's kind of where I want to share with you before we dive into the scriptures. That if you have a friend, if you have your dad still with you, and maybe the last time you talked, it didn't go real well, you be the bigger person and you tell your dad, I'm sorry, forgive me, and get that relationship restored. But those of you who have a great relationship, take advantage of that relationship, because you just don't ever know when that particular relationship or any relationship is taken away. So be even sensitive today. There's a number of in our congregation who, it's Tim Cummings' first Father's Day, for example, without his dad. And of course, you know, he's glad that he's out of suffering. He's glad that he's in heaven. But I'll tell you what, if you go back and ask him, do you want to talk to your daddy this afternoon? Yes. And I see I see Eddie and all the fact, it's just like yesterday, right, for some of you who've lost your dad. So be sensitive to what's among us. And then we have those whose dad has never been their dad. You have people sitting among you who've never had a dad witness. And day like today, it's not fun. It's not fun at all. So there's a lot of different things happening here. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, the scriptures read, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols in your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. Now, before we dive in, this scripture, you have to understand what is happening to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is about coming out of or going out of bondage. They have been 400 years in bondage in Egypt, and the Lord God is starting to deliver them. And God is raising up, or has raised up, Moses, and Moses is going to lead them to Mount Sinai, and they're going to get the Ten Commandments. And God is getting them ready for the journey of dealing with a lot of things that they were, if you will, didn't experience before. They're about to go into a world of many gods. They're about to go into a world where their children will be influenced by all the learnings of the world. And God was saying to the nation of Israel, if you do these things, you will be a distinctive and different people. But there is a responsibility given particularly to the men of the society. Back in this day, men had the responsibility of being the main teaching resource. They were to take their children and teach them things. Didn't have the school system, of course, and all the things of that we have today. But he says, I want you to understand, Israel, that the Lord our God, the Lord is what? One. And he says, love the Lord your God with just a little bit of your heart. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. It is amazing, as we think about loving your God with all your heart, and we pause it in 2017, it is amazing the things that are trying to get the attention of our heart. And people are falling more in love with other things than they are with the one true God. Now, that's been happening from the very beginning, understand. But we need to understand what's happening. All of the distractions that we're facing to get us off of whom? Loving the Lord God. People now today love their free time more than they love their God. Think about it. So he says, hey, I want you to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your sense. Notice he says with all, three different times. It's like we hearing the statement, all in. Are you all in? We hear that statement, I'm all in, you're all in, everybody's all in. You know, we hear that. Are you, if you will, are you all in with the Lord your God? So dads, there's three things that we can take from this passage of scripture and try to put these things within our lives. And some of you are already doing that, so I'm just simply coming along and just clapping for you. I'm patting on your back and I'm just saying, hey man, keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. We find this word in verse 7 that says, impress them on your children. So we're going to start first with this daily trait of fatherhood. We're going to deal with number one, daily repetition. Daily repetition. The word impress means to make an impression. You're trying to teach someone something to make an impression in their lives in order to change something about their lives. Now, you have to understand this word impression, or this is difficult in the world today. As I shared earlier this morning, we can easily be impressed as a group of worshipers by what's happening on our cell phones and computers rather than what's happening in a time of worship. And it is very, very easy to do that. It is very, very easy to lose track when we're in the technology world. We just lose all presence. I was traveling back, I think it was yesterday or it was early in the morning, I'm not sure where, and I think it was while we were going to Alpharetta yesterday, and I said, look, Cindy, that guy is going about 50 miles an hour. I said, that guy's going fast, and he is on the phone doing this. I don't know if he was texting or whatever he was doing. He was all over the road. You see, there's so many things trying to impress us. There's so many things trying to get our attention. And here when we come to this daily repetition, it is God's design for learning in the home to be the whole idea of daily repetition. How often do you brush your teeth? Do you brush it one time a week? Or do you brush it one time a day? Or maybe twice a day? And for your teeth-loving people among you, three times a day. All right? It just seems, it occurs to me that in a lot of areas there's not a problem with daily repetition. But you move it over into the spiritual world? Oh, you freak? You Jesus person? Now, let's talk about baseball. Let's talk about travel teams. Nobody is telling those young players, boys in the baseball, girls in the softball, nobody is telling them they're a bunch of freaks. Nobody. But yet, the adversary speaks into your ears of saying, hey, you can't go to church every Sunday. That's minimal. Don't be reading the Bible. You're a freak. But yet, every single discipline requires a daily repetition. Repetition. And then we bring it over the spirit. Well, you're no. There's people practice on the piano for 3 solid hours. That's why you admire people like that. But when you come with someone who's speaking the word for 3 hours, that's not admired anymore. When someone says a scripture, that's not admired anymore. It is amazing what is happening in our culture. And spiritually, the Lord was saying, hey, you need to daily have a daily repetition. Spiritual matters matter for your children. Impress them. Tell them that the Lord God is one, that there is no other God. Then we go to, which is weaving into the scriptures here. It says, impress them on your children. It says, talk about them when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. And I use the word daily integration. Daily integration. The word integration means to form or to blend into a whole. Unite, blend together. Weave godly ideas. Weave godly scriptures into the raising of your children. Guys, I plead with you to teach your children the word of God. I plead with you to let them see you praying for them by name in their presence. Don't say that you're praying for them, of course, but pray with them. On the spot. Now, if they call you on the phone and you're driving, please, I mean, you know, come on. Let's have some understand what we're talking about. Daily integration. The integration of Scripture is important. It is what you think, Dad, about the Scriptures. It says, Israel, you're about to go into a place of many, many gods. There are a variety of gods. Teach your children. Have you ever thought about the reason why Israel was back and forth, on again, off again? It's because of the lack of teaching by the fathers. If the fathers are going to completely dominate in the home, then they become completely responsible in the home. If the fathers are going to divorce and give a certificate of divorce in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, what they did, then they are responsible. But just like then and now, there seems to be a lack of responsibility among us. A growing lack of responsibility among the fathers of today. Cindy, Danielle, and I were in the park recently with the boys, and it's amazing what you can pick up as you observe. And this little precious little boy came over and started playing with Jude and Ethan, and just started playing with us. And then he just started saying, yeah, my mom lives in Chicago. I don't have a daddy. Wow. That precious, precious boy don't have a chance. And don't you sit there with some type of smugness of your heart and say, well, that's okay. It is not okay. It's not God's plan. Children are not to be raised by their grandparents. Praise God. Some of you have stepped in and done that. That's not your job. It's the parents' job to raise the grandchildren. And I tell you, it's the grandparents' responsibility to spoil them rotten. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Look at all the amens I've gotten today. Amen. Oh, we've got some clapping on that, man. Boy, I'm excited today. I'm going to be telling my prayer partner, man, I got so much in the spirit. I got people saying amen and clapping while I'm preaching. The problem with daily integration is we've compartmentalized everything in life. We say it's okay to do this at this time, but God was saying, he says, hey, I want you to talk about it while they're at home, while you're walking along the road, when you lie down, you get up. I want it to be a daily integration of your life so they would understand that these things go together. And then finally, we see in number three, perhaps we see the part of the integration and the repetition coming home. We see what I call the daily demonstration. He says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates. Repetition and integration equals what? It equals demonstration. You're not going to be demonstrating anything if you don't have the repetition of godly principles in your life and the integration of those principles within your heart so that it can come out and you can't help yourself. Here's an idea that the Lord has just given me for you right now. I remember after getting saved, and I got saved in the October of after my dad died in June. I got saved in that October. I asked Jesus inside my heart. And we were married, and I remember going to a church in Greenville, South Carolina. I remember Cindy finally wearing me down, and I go to Sunday school, and I go with her for the first time, not the first time, but the first time I think as a married couple, and we're up front, and the teacher looks at me, it's my first time being in Sunday school, and he says, will you pray? Well, I showed them I never came back. I remember that same service, we went from Sunday school and went into worship, and I remember the offering plate coming by. And I'm not sure if Cindy, if she put anything in. I know I surely didn't. I saw a $5 bill in that plate, and I said, I ain't giving no $5. So we move into our relationship, and unbeknownst to me, the Lord starts doing something in my life, and he has such a sense of humor. He calls me into ministry. That's a whole nother story for a whole nother day. But now I'm in October of 1982, and I'm on the staff of Somerville Baptist Church. I've never heard the word consciously of tithing, but somehow God's Spirit said, your first check, 10%. I remember writing out that check, and I would put the numbers and put 0.16 or 0.18. I was on the button. But you understand, at that particular time in my life, first time ever tithing, I just believe he was a net God, not a gross God. We'll get to that in just a moment. A net, for those of you that have forgotten, the net is what you're receiving. You don't really recognize how much the federal government is ripping you off. Okay? So I was a net tither. I tithed for a whole year. If I will be the following year, getting the W-2 form and writing down, that was the time when didn't own a house, so you do the short form, you know. Figured that out. We did the short form, and I was writing that out, and the Lord just put on my heart, what did you report to the government? Well, I reported this amount. Now, you have to understand, I'm not getting at that time any teaching about tithing. Nothing. Now, I'm not saying that the pastor wasn't preaching. I just wasn't listening. Okay? What did you report to the government? Oh. It's time for you to be a gross believer.
Listen.
You're going to start believing in me grossly. Whoa. Now, net and gross is different. Do I hear an amen? It's different. That's second year in ministry. Second year in ministry. I started tithing. We started tithing. Cindy was never the problem. She's never the problem in this relationship. Amen? Amen. I'll say it. I know it. How do you know, man? She told you to say that, get on her better side. So I started tithing grossly. About 2 years later, Pastor Gonzalez says, man, I want you to go up Columbia, and I want you to go and find out about this Grace and Giving. What? I want you to go and find out about this program called Grace and Giving. I don't know why he picked me. I go, and for the first time in my life, the scriptures were open, and man, I was in tune. They said, about offerings. I said, what in the world is that? Well, an offering starts after you give a tithe. Now I'm sitting there thinking, man, I've netted, I've grossed it, and Lord, what do you want now? I remember going back, sitting in the staff, and they asked me for a report. And I said, this is what we ought to do. And I said, we ought to tell the tithers to increase their giving 10.2%. And we ought to go to those that are increasing 10.2, we ought to go to 10.5. And I came up with all the statistics. And they just looked at me like I was from a bat out of a cave. The pastor looked at me and says, no, we're not going to do that. Because you were the pastor. Okay. But I said, wow, offering? Well, sat down Cindy and I said, okay. We're going to start what? We're going to give 10.2% of our income to the Lord. Now, Cindy was seeing the spiritual growth in my life. Okay, you're the spiritual leader. We started growing. And then we started growing. Do you hear me? And then we start growing. And then we continue to grow. And we continue to grow. The greatest challenge was to do that in seminary. To give a tithe and offering in seminary. And guess what? Jim, hallelujah, we did it. We did it. Now, what does that have to do with this? Everything. When you repeatedly do something and you integrate it in your life, you have to demonstrate it. And when I started seeing that when we trusted the Lord in finances, the Lord started giving us other things. During those times at Summerville Baptist Church, I started discovering that the soul winners in our church were people who were tithers. Did you hear what I said? I discovered that the soul winners were tithers. And I started studying the scripture and said, what's that mean? What are you talking about, Lord? What are you talking about? And I came upon the scripture that says, you want a true rich? And what is a true rich? Let me tell you what a true rich is. That you and I have a tiny part of someone coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And this morning praying, I thought of the 70-year-old who gave her heart to Jesus last week. I'll be talking about her, not using the name. The pastor in New Hope Community Church, he said, well, Pastor, do you have any recent hope things that have happened in your life? I said, how long are you going to let me talk? Well, Pastor, you can only talk for 5 or 10 minutes. Okay. There are going to be a lot of words shared in 5 or 10 minutes next Sunday. Sunday a week. Daily demonstration. You see, it's through the daily repetition, it's through the integration that you start to demonstrate. You can talk about them all day long, but it's when you implement them and you demonstrate them in your life. No action equals no demonstration. You model a belief in the one true God. How about this one? How about Romans 5:8? But God demonstrated his love to us even while we were still yet what? Sinners. Christ Jesus died for us on the cross. It was a day after Father's Day in 1977 when I heard news that my father had passed away. Someone had called me on a payphone in our dorm. And for those of you who don't know what a payphone is, ask Siri what a payphone is. I'm not going to describe it to you. In your dorm, they had phones. It was down in the hall. How many people know what I'm talking about? Down in the hall. Thank you very much. Ben, phone for you. I got to the phone, and that's how I found out that my father had passed away. He died of emphysema. What is emphysema? It's too much smoking. Did your dad smoke? Oh, about 2 to 3 packs a day. Did your dad drink? Oh, my goodness, did he drink. My father was an alcoholic. So he died. They said it was emphysema. But here, 40 years later, you know what I was thinking about this morning? I was thinking, as a young second grader, my father had bought a grocery store. And the grocery store was open 7 days a week from 9 o'clock in the morning to 9 at night. And somehow he saw in me that I had this, could work and could get stuff done. And so I started working in the store a lot every day. And on Sunday mornings, he'd wake me up. And the first thing that we would do on every single Sunday morning from the third grade on up, and even as a 9th or 10th, 11th or 12th grader, it was not even an issue. Never came up in our home. If we were, I was never asked, well, would you like to go to church? Oh, honey, would you like to go to church today? Are you feeling okay? You see his face. That was never asked in my home. On Sunday morning, our place was going to Mass. On every Sunday morning, he woke me up. We'd get dressed. We'd go to St. Casimir's. Although we were members at St. Peter's, we went to St. Casimir's because St. Casimir's had an 8 o'clock service. St. Peter's had a 9 o'clock service. What time did the store open up? 9 o'clock. There you go. So we go to St. Casimir's. I remember my father coming in. He would genuflect. I would come in before, after him, and I would genuflect. He'd go up in a couple pews, and he gave me permission to not get close to where he was, and I sat in the back. I don't know why he allowed me to do that, just from the scope of going. And I remember going down that aisle and taking the Holy Communion every single Sunday. Didn't have a clue of what it was, but I took it every single Sunday during my whole coming up as elementary, middle school, and high school. So parents, you're sitting there, how do I get my child? They don't even have an option. Why don't you parent your child rather than you worrying about being a friend to your child? Do you hear an amen? Quit trying to be a friend and be a parent. Now, you may say, well, what's I got to do for today? My dad demonstrated that particular behavior. And guess what? I caught it. I go off to college on Sunday morning. Guess what I'm looking for? I'm looking for a Mass. I get to Dunn, North Carolina. And I go to Mass in Dunn, North Carolina. No transportation. I somehow get there. Are you feeling me here, there? Are you feeling me? When you have something that's inside of you, you do it. You don't look for excuses to get out of it. Dads, you are the dad. You are the father. According to scriptures, you are to be the spiritual leader. And moms, and wives, I'm not saying anything disrespect to you. But that's what scriptures say. The dads are to be the spiritual leaders. Dads, you are to demonstrate to your children how to live godly. And I taught my girls, well, if there's one thing they learned, and they heard it from me all the time because I thought it was that important, they heard about stewardship. They heard that the first check from Chick-fil-A, you're going to tithe on that thing. Did you check it? You better believe I checked it, Will. They were still in my home. And I had the responsibility to make sure they were doing because I wanted the Lord's blessing on their life. Don't you as a dad want the Lord's blessings? So if you know what the Lord's blessings are, will you not go behind your children and help them get that blessing? See, we have lost it in child teaching. Well, do you feel like going to church? Well, do you feel like taking a bath? Get that word feeling and put it in the toilet and flush it 15 times, guys. Oh, well, you're just from a different age. Well, we know that. But how's that feeling working for you there, Dad? How's that feeling working for you, Mom? Well, you're going, well, did it all go right in your home? No. Weren't perfect. But you're responsible to teach them. Daily repetition, daily integration equals daily demonstration. Father God, help us, not only as dads, maybe as some moms. And I know I'm talking to some moms who have the incredible dual responsibility. Lord, I don't know how they do that. But Lord, if we're the body can help someone with that, give us the courage to help in that dual responsibility. Father, for those that have both inside the home, help our parents to parent. Help our dads to lead. Every head bowed, every eye closed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He demonstrated. Is it time for you to choose Jesus today? Right where you are, you can say, God, I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness. Jesus, I believe in you. I trust you today. Jesus, would you come into my heart right now? In the name of Jesus. A prayer like that, but a heart that is just willing to receive Christ is most important. If you've given your heart to Christ, we would love to rejoice with you. The greatest decision of your life. If you'd love to come down to this altar and pray, this altar is open. If you want to come into our fellowship by baptism, by letter, by transfer letter, we would love to have you here today. In just a moment, I'm going to end this prayer. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. You come with whatever decision we can help you with today. Father God, have your way in this place. Give us. May we be bold. May we be courageous today in the name of Jesus. Would you stand? Would you come with any decision we can help you with today? You might know one of these members of the team, and maybe you've already been praying for them, but you've agreed to be their prayer partner. So I give you permission to come and give them a minute to come, and you might want to stand behind them, or you might want to come and just put your hand on their shoulder. Whatever you would like to do, that would be fine. And once you see them, take care of it.
Father, this day that we take to honor fathers, Father, we honor you, the Creator. We honor you in that you created everything through your Son, Jesus. You sent your Son, Jesus, for our salvation. You gave your best that we might have the opportunity through your grace to be eternally with you, Father. But as your Son Jesus was leaving, he instructed his disciples go into all the world and tell all that I have done. These people gathered here this morning at the altar seek to follow that instruction. They have done this continuously, but now they seek to go further. Lord, I just ask you to be with each one individually. Be with them as a group as they take a long journey into a wilderness. Let your Spirit provide them with courage and strength and remind them of your words when needed. Guide them safely to their destination. Strengthen their message. Open the ears and the eyes of those that would see and hear them, that they might understand the love you have for man and the grace you show through Jesus. Bless each one. Show them their part to do. Guide them in doing it. Doing that and bring them home safely. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.